We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios on this Tuesday. Now that we've taken, the city has taken a bow for the job that it did, and everybody should be taking pride in what we did in hosting Super Bowl 53. We can all kind of catch our breath and kind of look towards what's next, which is why you and I are asking in the poll question of the day, with the NFL season being a wrap, what are you most excited for now? And again, you're limited to four things on Twitter. So, you know, if you're excited about something that isn't on the poll, we immediately say, hey, listen, weigh in and let us know what you're most looking forward to, because February is a busy month. We have the debut of the new football team, the Atlanta Legends. They'll play their first game this coming Saturday against Orlando, and their first, and that's against Steve Spurrier, no less, down in Orlando. And the Legends will debut, and we'll see how spring football works in this new league. Hugh, the AAF, there are eight teams that they're starting with, and they say they're going to expand. It's only a 10-game season. Aaron Murray, the former star, is quarterback of the Georgia Dogs, is not going to be starting quarterback for the Atlanta Legends. You have a situation where we are the only, we being Atlanta, the only NFL city, current NFL city, that has a team. So Atlanta's a little bit different than the other seven markets, because those seven markets don't have a pro team at all. And it'll be interesting to see how Atlanta, which already has a professional team, accepts a second professional team.
I think it's going to be one of those situations, John, where we're going to give it a chance. I think the city is going to give it a chance. Now, how well it does, who knows? I think that Michael Vick's going to be a big draw. Michael Vick, I think a lot of people want to see how he's going to transition from being a player to an offensive coordinator. I know I'm curious about that, because, you know, Vick was the type of guy that it felt like he didn't really listen to his offensive coordinator so much. So I'm going to be curious to talk to him to find out how is it now, since he's an offensive coordinator. What's it like trying to talk to your quarterback and to get him to do the things that you're trying to get him to do? Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the draw for me. And just to see how well the team does.
You know, I was tweaking the Legends general manager, Billy Devaney. Billy used to work with the Falcons, and Billy, good man, Billy Devaney, about whether or not, I said, you want to suddenly get a full house, have Michael trot out of the tunnel with a helmet on. Yeah, you know, what the hell? What do you got to lose? You know, let him take a few snaps. Man, you want to talk about a full house? Michael Vick, starting quarterback this week for the Atlanta Legends. Bam! You'll get $35,000 in a big hurry. So that's one thing. The Falcons offseason, and it's going to be a big offseason. We know all the storylines. It's all there. It's just executing them. Who do you re-sign? Who do you rework? When do you get the Grady deal done, the Julio deal done? Who do you go after in free agency? What about the combine at the end of the month? You got the draft coming up. Are you going to trade up, down? Are you going to stay at 14? Lots of stuff here. How healthy is Keanu Neal? And we hope he's healthy, and we assume he is. How healthy will Rico be? How healthy will this team be? Devontae Freeman, you know, now
Deion Jones.
Yeah, you know, Deion Jones, you know, hopefully, you know, this team gets to be 100%. You know, Brandon Fusco, Andy Levitre. I mean, how healthy is this team going to be going forward? So a lot of storylines with the Falcons. And, of course, then the two really big ones that are dominating the poll, of course, the Braves. Spring training beginning and all the question marks. Will they make a major move? I'm to the point where I'm not sure that they will make another major move. I think the Braves, it's possible. It's pitching. Possible they could.
Pitching. There's still some good pitchers right out there. I mean, and I think that the reason why the hot stove hasn't moved that much is because they're waiting to see what Bryce Harper's going to do in Manny. Mm-hmm. I think that's what teams are at. And because you see a lot of teams that are like most teams that are considered like contenders, they really haven't made any major moves. They're probably trying to figure out what they're going to need when they figure out where those two guys go.
If the Braves are going to stay with their starting rotation as it is now, which means Julio Teheran's back, which is fine by me. I'm not overly concerned about that, actually. I mean, what do I know? Even though I thought that Julio may have, I mean, what did he throw, one inning in the postseason? Watch Julio Teheran come out and rediscover Julio Teheran this year. And we'll all be sitting around going,
though.
You know, oh, wow, look at that.
I don't think he'd be a starting day pitcher, though.
Well, no, I think opening day – well, I think the opening day starter is set. It's going to be Foltynewicz.
Yeah. I don't think he has that moniker anymore. That's not him anymore.
Right. I mean, I think with Foltynewicz, I think your rotation is set. At the moment, you know, short of going out and getting somebody, Foltynewicz, Newcomb, obviously Gausman. You know, I think Mike Soroka probably in the opening day rotation with Julio Teheran. I think it's those five. But I think if they make let's put it this way, if there is a major move, if there's a major move to be made by the Braves now until the start, I think it's Kimbrel. I think Craig Kimbrel comes back. Now, he wanted 6 years and $100 million. He's not getting that on the open market. He has said he loves Atlanta. Braves need a closer. I could see a shorter term, lesser dollar, you know, something more along the lines of four years and, say, $55 or $60 million. I could see something like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys that went into free agency this year and thought that they were going to get a lot of money are probably, like, adjusting those figures a little bit. You know, we talked to Alex Anthopoulos a couple weeks ago, and he was basically saying that, you know, they're really in no hurry to sign anybody. You know, guys come in with these lofty expectations about what kind of money they're going to get. You let them sit for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a little antsy because you're getting around that time now, John, like we said, pitches and catches right around the corner. Guys are going to want to figure out where they're going. They, you know, if your wives or significant others, they want to figure out what city they're going to live in. They want to if you got kids, you're going to try to figure out what school you're going to put them in for the year or whatever. If you're doing all of that, you want to kind of be settled. You want all of this to be taken care of before the season actually starts or you go into training camp.
It's a virtual tie right now between the Braves and Atlanta United. In our poll at 9-9 the game, the Braves season opener, spring training and whatnot that you're looking forward to, and Atlanta United and the beginning of its title defense. Now, United plays its first game that counts under new head coach Frank DeBoer in 16 days down in Costa Rica in the opening of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and that'll be on the 21st. They'll play a return game against Arredondo on the 28th of February. That game will be played at Fifth Third Bank Stadium in Kennesaw. And then they'll get into the regular season of Major League Soccer, which starts March 3rd when they take on Wayne Rooney and DC United. Now, at the moment, Atlanta United is out in California. They're doing preseason games out there, exhibition games. They won their first one over Seattle 7-1. 7-1. And both Martinez has scored in that game, Joseph and Petey. So here's the difference to me, though. I look at this, I wonder about this season and about Atlanta United to this end, Hugh. We see the Hawks getting better, correct?
Agreed.
I mean, right? We expect, this is our expectation, at least my expectation, see if you do. We expect that the Braves are going to either make the playoffs or make a serious run at the playoffs, no matter how they're constructed.
I agree.
We expect that the Falcons should make the playoffs. I do.
That remains to be seen, okay. John. That's not, I would say in this climate in the NFL, that's not a given.
I expect
him to be in the running. Yes, in this division, yes.
We expect Georgia Tech to make a run at you know, coming off this bowl season they just had at being, you know, a contender in the Coastal Division. We expect Georgia, I think the expectation level of Georgia fans is they're going to win the SEC.
I would agree with that.
And frankly, that would be my expectation were I a Georgia fan. Atlanta United, what is the expectation level of Atlanta United? Is it to win the Champions Cup? I mean, to go all the way through and beat Barcelona or Real or Manchester United or Bayern Munich or whoever that they would face in the end of it, is it to win MLS Cup? Is it to win every game 6-0? I think you can see where the expectation level of United fans might be almost unrealistic.
I would say with soccer being as popular as it is now here, that you go into it more in the sense of a measuring stick type situation, if that makes any sense, because this is unknown. This is uncharted territory. This is definitely uncharted territory to be in this position, and you've put together a team where it's pretty formidable in the preseason. You know, you're talking about scoring 7 goals in the last preseason game you played against last week. I think that right now you're going into it with the team that you assembled, John, and you want to see how far you can take it. I think that to win the CONCACAF, I think that's lofty, real lofty expectations. Not saying it can't be done, but I think that you need to temper your expectations realistically. Saying that this is you're going into your third season, and that is probably going to be really, really tough to do, not knowing the competition that you're going to be facing. So, you know, I think you should temper that a little bit with some cautious optimism. But, again, you don't know what's going to happen. This is uncharted territory. I think you go into it, and whatever happens, you look at it as a measuring stick, and you now you know where to improve your game. That's how I look at it. Going into this, wherever you fall, now you know where you need improvement at.
And I think that you look at Atlanta United and their fan base, and I understand. We see such incredible the story of the Five Stripes is off the charts. I mean, to do what they've done in 2 years and to build themselves into what they've done in 2 years. And if you look at the World Club rankings, where they take all the clubs here in the world and they put them into some kind of a database and they come up
and they rank them.
Right. And they come up with, like, Barcelona's the number one club in the world, or Real Madrid, or, you know, Juventus, or all these who was just here for the All-Star game, or Bayern Munich, or whoever they have as the number one club in the world. Atlanta United is still struggling to get into, like, the top 200.
And that's the reason why I said I think you should temper it with, you know, realistic expectations, because you're in uncharted territory. And now you're talking about going against some of the best clubs in soccer. So you look at where you are and you build from there. I think you take this year, I guess, as a mulligan. You look at it like that, and you see where you are, and you see where you need to improve. Mm-hmm. I think that as far as making inroads in soccer, I think they've done a tremendous job. They've done a tremendous job of doing that, especially here in the city of Atlanta and nationally, and bringing it to the national stage and making people more aware of soccer. But I think at the same time, you have to – we're riding a tremendous high right now, because the team is in its third season, and they've had a tremendous amount of success in a short period of time. There's going to be a little bit of a lull. Let's see what happens when it's a little bit of a lull.
Right.
But right now, enjoy it while you can. Enjoy it while you can, and going to this match coming up, the CONCACAF, and see where you are. Mm-hmm. See where your position at, and then improve from there.
Yeah. So this is why, well, you know, Frank DeBoer is going to have to, like, mix and match the lineups. As important as the MLS season is, and it's important, now I think Atlanta United fans are going to find out that the Champions Cup that they're about to embark on in 16 days is more important. And the reason it's more important is if they could knock off Arredondo, this team from Costa Rica, they would advance to face, and correct me, and I think Mike Connie walked me through this, and if I'm not 100% correct, I think I'm right there. They would face the South American champion, which might be a team like Petey Martinez's old team, River Plate, or Boca Juniors, a couple of powerhouse teams down in Argentina. If they could, they'd have a home and home with them. If they win that, they could advance along, and eventually, down the line, later in the year, they could find themselves, you know, potentially, if they do it right, Hugh, they could be in a home and home, or, well, it wouldn't be home and home, would it? It'd be a neutral site. But anyway, it could be neutral site with somebody like Barcelona, or, I mean, Real Madrid. I mean, they could be head up with the number one team in the world, and then we'd find out really what Atlanta United is made of.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I'm at with it, John, because right now, again, I can't say it enough, in uncharted territory. But I will say this. Darren Eels, Carlos Bocanegra, and those guys, they're not resting on their laurels. They're pushing the gas pedal. They're trying to make this team better with every move that they're making. And you can tell by the seriousness that he displays every time that we talk to Carlos Bocanegra that they're trying to make this club the best club that it could possibly be. There's no doubt about that.
And back to the Braves, my excitement level. See, again, you know, we talked about corner outfielder. Now that they've re-signed Nick Markakis, I'm good with that. I mean, so much is so funny about Nick Markakis in my book is that we had to re-sign Nick Markakis. Yeah, you know, the guy's no good. He only won a Silver Slugger last year, was only on the All-Star team, only won a Gold Glove. He's no good. It's like, I mean, I know he's a little bit older, but the dude was an All-Star, Gold Glove, Silver Slugger. I mean, okay, that's pretty good. I mean, and so your outfield is set. Your lineup now, there's a couple of ifs on the team. I get that. The ifs still in the bullpen, which is why it wouldn't bother me if they didn't get a starter so much. Because, you know, we got Tuki Toussaint. You've got Ian Anderson coming up, Kyle Wright. There are other guys that you could look at for starters. It's the bullpen that's still more of a, you know, a mystery to this club. But that lineup, if Josh Donaldson's the key, because I think we all expect that Ronald Acuna is going to put up stellar numbers, that Freddie Freeman's going to put up stellar numbers. According to Alex Anthopoulos, finally we've got Dansby Swanson healthy. Ozzy Albies can hit. If Donaldson is a 35 to 40 home run guy, Hugh, in the middle of that lineup, depending on where he is, and suddenly you have, in some form of order, Josh Donaldson, Freddie Freeman, Ronald Acuna, however they stack it, man, that the middle of the Braves order is among the best in baseball.
Yeah, that's what everybody's hoping for. And the key is Donaldson to see if he can get back to form. And I think that's important, and I think that's what everybody is hinging it upon. There's nothing to say that he can't be that guy. But, again, you tend to worry about a little bit about pitching because that was an issue that was for you. You know, mm-hmm. and you're talking about – as of yesterday, John, there's only a few pitchers out there. You got a little starting – one of the better starter pitchers that fits into what you're trying to do is Dallas Keuchel.
Right.
He hasn't signed a deal yet. Mm-hmm. And then as far as relief pitchers are concerned, Craig Kimbrell is still out there.
Right.
But, you know, the number one guy on this list that I'm looking at as starting pitchers is concerned, Patrick Corbin, you know, he signed a big deal a few days ago. So, you know, and J.A. Happ was another guy that people were talking about. He signed a deal with the Yankees. So, If you're talking about pitchers, it's going to be either Dallas Keuchel or Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah, they were talking about Gio Gonzalez for a while, and I was like, oh, well, I don't care about Gio Gonzalez. I just don't. I mean, it's like, okay. I mean, if he's on your team, you're going to root for him. But, I mean, does he do anything for me? Is that an upgrade?
I mean, but looking at this list.
I think we have three pitchers that are better than him.
Looking at this list as of yesterday, there's a few names of relief pitching that's on this page that you could potentially look at. Not a whole lot of names that jump out at you, but I think that for the Braves, they want to find somebody that fits into that age demographic for them. And I'm thinking that's between probably 30 to 32, something like that. So they want to get some mileage out of these pitchers.
Rick and John are going to be all over the place. We mentioned they're going to be on National Signing Day tomorrow. They're also going to be Friday at Twin Peaks and Buckhead as they broadcast to get the weekend started. Hang out with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Friday with Rick and John at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Next up, Hawks general manager Travis Schlenk, who should join the show. A very happy man considering what his team was able to do on this road trip with big games coming into State Farm Arena. It's next after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Hawks play here.
Bounces underneath to John and he jams again. And the Hawks lead 116-107. It's a long pass for John Collins. He jams. And the Hawks have taken a 114-107 lead. Bang.
Our Hawks play here.
Bang. Trae Young with a three and he got fouled on the play with 3:46 remaining.
Catch every moment of every Hawks game here.
Sports Radio 92.
Are they home now, though? You check out this homestand. Next seven games wrapped around the All-Star game and nine of the next 10 are at the friendly confines of State Farm Arena. Let's see if they can build on that tremendous road. And it really was kind of a tremendous road trip they were just on, Hugh.
Yeah, nice little run for them,
man.
I mean, I think they surprised a lot of people. I mean, being on the road that long and to come out on the positive side of it with a young team, yeah, that's pretty dope.
Yeah, it is. We welcome into the program on the WadeFord.com hotline this morning, the general manager of the Hot Hawks in a way.
Hot.
Yeah. Travis Schlenk joins us. Hey, Travis, how you doing?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Trav, so first of all, I want to get to it. What did you do for this Super Bowl weekend? Were you kind of like, were you here or were you on the road with the team? What was your week like?
I was out west with the team, checking out a bunch of Pac-12 teams. Actually flew home Sunday morning. So I was here for the Super Bowl. In the office all this week with the trade deadline coming up Thursday. So just on the phone a lot these days.
Yeah, I would imagine you're feeling a lot of calls. Before we get to all of that, Travis, hey, how about that road trip? I mean, seven games, daunting on the road for 2 weeks, and your team, all that time away from home, pulls off four wins out of seven games and continues to play. And as the season goes on, step by step, they continue to improve. And Trae Young, Eastern Conference of the Month. I mean, John Collins' game is elevating. They're both in the Rising Stars game. Lloyd Pierce got this team playing well.
Yeah, no, extremely happy and excited about the way we've come together this year. The young guys, you know, as you mentioned, John and Trae obviously playing really well, but Kevin Herter obviously doing a great job for us. You know, getting Torian back in the starting lineup, and you know, Bembry's first season really being healthy and what he's been able to give us, and you know, our veteran guys, obviously Dwayne's having a nice year. You know, Kent coming back from injury now healthy. It's exciting. And we saw last night Amari, you know, had an opportunity with John going down, and he steps in and has a great game for us. So it's good to see.
Yeah, it is good to see. Let's talk about a couple of those individuals. You mentioned Trae Young, Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month, put together numbers that they were comparing him to stuff that Steph Curry had done, to, you know, the youngest since LeBron to have some of the numbers that he put up. Instead of hitting a wall, he's hit another gear.
Yeah, no, he's he had a great trip. You know, had a rough shooting night in Chicago, but really was able to kind of control the game from an offensive standpoint with his passing ability. I think he had 12 assists that night. And then he goes to Portland, and his shot starts falling, you know, getting to the rim and still, you know, creating plays for others. So it was exciting to see. And again, last night, you know, he didn't have the best shooting night, but again, 10 assists and really kind of controlled the game. He's getting really good in the pick and roll when teams try to switch. And then when they start blitzing him, he's doing a great job of just giving it up and letting his teammates make plays. So it's been good to see his growth for sure.
Travis, is this a little bit bittersweet for you? Because I know you don't want the team to tank, but at the same time, you're in a position where you're trying to get the best possible draft picks that you can possibly get. So is this a little bit like, I know you want to see the team do well, but is it kind of like you don't want to see them do too well?
No, listen, I've maintained from day one when I got the job that obviously we're going to go down the process of rebuilding this team through the draft, but I wholeheartedly believe that you can find talent anywhere in the draft. You know, just on our current roster, you know, John, we talked about, he was the 19th pick. Kevin was the 19th pick. Omari was the 30th pick. So I believe you can find talent anywhere in the draft. You know, you just kind of have to be able to find it. But I also believe it's extremely important when you're building through the draft and playing a lot of young players that they experience success. That just helps breathe into the culture. It gives them positive reinforcement for all the hard work they're putting in. It's paying off. So I get asked that a lot. Do I get mad when we lose? And the answer to that is an easy no, I don't. You know, I go into every game hoping that we win. But I also have the understanding that there's going to be some times that we're not going to win or not as win as much as we want to win. But this process will get us to where we want to go.
Speaking with Hawks general manager Travis Schlenk, as we approach the big week ahead, Toronto on Thursday, this homestand again mentioned seven games in a row. You'll have Kawhi Leonard coming in before the All-Star break, Kemba Walker, and some guy named LeBron next Tuesday night at State Farm Arena. Before we get to that, first, though, of course, the big news on Thursday will be the trade deadline. For Hawks fans, Travis, where do we stand in terms of, do you expect that you know, your phone's going to ring and that the Hawks could make a move? And what is your goal here, to create some cap space or some room here to be a little flexible at the end of the year?
Yeah, listen, you know, right now, obviously, a bunch of teams calling around, just kind of seeing what the options are. And our stance, you know, hasn't changed, you know, since I got here. We're still in our development phase. We feel great about the process we're making in our development stage. But, you know, at the trade deadline, you know, we'll look at deals that are going to either create a future cap space for us or deals that are going to acquire more future draft assets for us. That's kind of still where we are in this process. Again, extremely pleased with the strides we've made this year. And, you know, hopefully if we can, you know, make some more good selections in this draft, maybe add another, you know, free agent here or there, we can start to turn this thing around, you know, quicker than maybe we hoped. But we're still in the same phase of our development process.
So how's John Collins doing? I know you probably don't know this readily, but he got banged up a little bit last night. Is he okay? Is he going to be ready to go Thursday for Toronto Raptors?
Yeah, no. He took a forearm to the eyebrow last night. I think he had three or four stitches. He didn't have a concussion, which is obviously good. Anytime a guy gets in the head, that's a concern. And his eye vision's fine, so he didn't get poked in the eye or anything like that. So, you know, he's just gonna have a little scar on top of his eyebrow there with some stitches, but he'll be fine and ready to go Thursday.
He don't get the mask. He don't get to wear the mask like everybody get to wear when they get a little injury to the face.
Nah, fortunate enough, he didn't get his nose broken.
Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Some good news as we get ready for this long homestand with all these big teams coming in to State Farm Arena to face a Hawks team that is suddenly 12-12 in its last 24 games and has grown under Lloyd Pierce to the point where I'm going to ask the next question. Is this team with Amari Spellman and Kevin Huerter, Trae Young, Taurean Prince, John Collins, and a new coach in Lloyd Pierce, are they ahead of the schedule that you thought in terms of their development as a club?
I don't know if I'd use the word ahead of development, but you know, obviously we're very pleased with what we've seen over the last, you know, month and a half or whatever it's been. You know, I was speaking with some guys yesterday, and you know, you think about you know, where we might have been this season had John not missed the first, you know, was it 17 games he missed or something like that. You know, we're sitting here with 29 games to go, I believe, and, you know, we're 7 games out of the last spot in the East. You know, that's a lot to make up with all the teams in there. But if, you know, we got off to a better start, you know, we might be in a different spot here at this trade deadline. But hindsight's 20/20. You know, we're happy for the success we've had, and we're going to keep building it the way that we got to where we are today.
Do you sense, Travis Schlenk, that there is a building buzz around the team?
I think that not just here in Atlanta, but really nationally, people are starting to take notice of us a little bit. You know, just some of the stuff I see online or stuff people point out to me where, you know, or different writers around the country that I know from the past, your young guys are looking good. You know, I get a lot of those texts from people around the league that watch. So I think people are starting to notice a little bit. And like I said, hopefully we can continue to build on it the rest of this year and carry it into the summer and get off to a good start next year, and we'll see what happens.
With Trey Young starting to turn the corner and play well, are you starting to have those in-your-face moments? Because I'm pretty sure you've probably had some people that probably tweeted you or sent a text talking about that was a bad pick. Are you starting to have that a little bit of an in-your-face moment right now?
We got a long way to go before we can have those, man.
But it has to feel good that he's doing, like, it looked like he's going to be a player. That has to feel good.
I mean, listen, we want all our guys to be successful, right? So it's, you know, when, and you know this from playing, like, you're only as good as your last game, man. So
this is true. This is true.
We're all with the punches, man.
This is true, and you're right, because it's a long way to go. This is a marathon. This ain't a sprint. You're right.
Exactly. Yeah. And nobody likes a blowhard, man, and that's not who I am. You know, humility is a great thing.
Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Hawks. Well, my final question here, Travis, 7-game homestand, 9 of the next 10. Mentioned Kawhi on Thursday, Kemba Walker coming in, LeBron James next Tuesday. Talk about buzz. I expect there are going to be some pretty big crowds at State Farm Arena to see your young team.
Yeah, I hope so. Listen, there's nothing like being at home. There's nothing like having a good crowd. And it certainly is great for the guys. And, you know, I hope, you know, going through this process, nobody really wants to go through it, certainly not the players, the coaches, the management, ownership, you know, the fans. But I hope that what we're seeing is there may be a light at the end of the tunnel here, and, you know, everyone can get excited and rally behind our guys, and we can finish the season off strong.
Yeah, I think that's all we can ask for, and I'm pleasantly surprised at how this team has grown. I give a lot of credit to you. And obviously to the players, they're the ones that do the job.
I haven't really done a lot. You shouldn't give me any credit.
Well, but in putting this team together and a lot of credit to Lloyd Pierce and his coaching staff for getting this team to grow. I don't know how this is going to end, but I would say that this season has been, by all definitions so far, and whatever happens to me in my world, Travis, I call this a success.
It's been a fun ride, no question. It's a fun ride.
Oh, no. Listen, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. You know, Coach Pierce and his staff have done a great job of creating a positive environment and keeping guys engaged at the start of the season when things weren't going as well. And now you can see all that work that they've done and the players sticking with it. And, you know, we're starting to see the rewards of those rough month and a half here in the middle of the season. And, you know, now our job is to continue to carry this forward on for the rest of the season. And then, you know, understanding that this summer is a huge summer for a lot of our players. You know, we've got 20-year-old kids that have a real opportunity to change their bodies and come back next year and be bigger and stronger and ready for another grind.
Appreciate it, Travis. Look forward to it Thursday night. Kawhi Leonard, then Orlando and Charlotte, and then LeBron James, the next 4 or 5 games leading up to the All-Star break at State Farm Arena are going to be big. Tickets available at Hawks.com. You got to go check it out now if you want to see some of these big names. And, always wanted to say, be Hawks cool before the Hawks are cool, and you're going to make it that way. Thanks, Travis.
You know how to tell that we're moving in the right direction?
Yeah, that's what I think.
You didn't ask me about Milwaukee or Toronto or the Lakers or Golden State.
Hey, so what do you think? Never mind. Hey, Travis, do appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
All right, see
you. All right. You know what? Fair enough. Eddie's absolutely right.
I mean, he's a smart man. He picked up on that immediately.
Hey, NFL should be worried because people are saying live television is dead. Live TV is dead. We'll explain that next. Right now, your chance to go see those hot Hawks. How about two tickets to see the Hawks and Raptors at State Farm this Thursday? Tickets available at Hawks.com. Two tickets to caller number 4 at 404-741-0929. Be quick. 404-741-0929. Caller number 4 gets two tickets to the Hawks and Kawhi Leonard Thursday at State Farm Arena. As we continue on the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Super Bowl is in the books, done for, and they said, and I think Wendy reported this earlier, that it was one of the lower rated in terms of overall audience Super Bowls in quite some time, somewhere around in the United States. Hugh,
Saints did that. Saints fans did that.
Well, it was New Orleans was the lowest rated meter market. Of course, a lot of those people don't have electricity yet, but
and all their pettiness.
The fact is that their pettiness and all that kind of stuff.
And John Friggy's pettiness because that shot was uncalled for. That was an uncalled for shot.
Uncalled for.
Because they don't have any electricity. Is that what you said, John? Sometimes,
or there's there's bed checking.
It's getting ready to happen.
And you know what? I give props to AT because AT don't say a whole lot. He don't say a whole lot.
He don't say a whole lot to y'all, but I hear it.
Is that what it is?
But there's kind of a bigger issue here at play that I saw that I think is sort of fascinating when you stop and think about it because we're in such a unique time. Because we're transitioning in the ever-changing landscape of the internet into what it's going to mean for the future. Now, you may recall that in the not-too-distant past, the NFL was streaming games, and what was it, year before last when they signed the deal with Twitter to stream games on Twitter. And people were asking, why do you want a platform like Twitter? That doesn't make any sense. It may not make a whole lot of sense if you're thinking about doing Twitter on your phone, but that's not how millennials watch TV, Hugh. They're cord cutting and they're getting these smart TVs and they're able to use a Roku or an Apple TV to mirror off of a platform. So let's say, for those of you who don't understand what I'm saying, is you can go to like Twitter or Facebook or to a dedicated website and bring a game, log in, bring a game up on your phone that's streaming on your phone, and then you hit a mirror button that mirrors to your TV, and then it comes up on your television, and it's broadcast quality, by the way. And so you don't even know that it's not coming in over cable. Your TV is basically just a gigantic monitor reading what your phone is sending it, off this platform. And that's how millennials are watching the game. They said 2 million millennials streamed the game and mirrored it to their televisions or their monitors.
It's kind of like a sling box, in a sense, the way you're describing it. It's kind of like a sling box. But the sling box is the other way. You take what's on your television and you sling it to your computer, correct? Yeah, so it's the other way around, which is genius because this is the problem, John. You get violated. Like, your cable bill is a straight violation every month. And it's one of those things where you don't want to be violated, but you have to because you certain things you have to get. And the way that they have these tiers in television, they got it. They figured it out because if you want to have say basic cable, or if you want to just have internet service, they tier it in a way where even if you just have the basic service, you pay it about $200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So now people are cutting the cable. They just get straight wireless. They get Wi-Fi, and they want to watch designer TV, because Netflix, Hulu, and all these other ones, they are catered to specifically what you want to watch. Because if you ever notice, and I'm pretty sure everybody's picked this up by now, especially on Netflix, whatever you tend to watch more of, Netflix has those shows that are kind of in the same vein from your watching habits. And that's what people like. Because this certain, like, I'm pretty sure the shows that show up on your Hulu or your account are totally different than mine. Because mine are more based on, like, action stuff, probably some macabre stuff of that nature. But TV is going more so designer. And people like it like that. Because, you know, you pop on Hulu. I get, even on my phone now, for Netflix, I will get notifications of shows that they say that I might like.
Mm-hmm.
I get that all the time. I get that all the time. So that's where it's going towards, John, because we're trying to, the best that we can, cut cable out of our lives. Because when you talk about cutting that cable bill, if you cut that cable bill out your life, man, that's saving about $300 a month easily, especially if you got all the higher tiers. That's saving you about $300 a month.
Right. And so the question becomes, what do you do with live television? I mean, it's obvious, like, for example,
the reason why I have cable now, because you got to have at some point live television.
Right. But that can go away in a big hurry. And this is how, you know, CBS is seeing the future coming. CBS is the most watched television network of all time, okay, in the history of television, American television. But CBS sees the future coming, which is why they created something called CBS All Access. And they took a Star show, which is the new Star Trek, and put it only and exclusively. They didn't put it on the network. They only put it on this All Access. And they're in season 2 now of the new Star Trek, which is trying to drive people to use their All Access page. CBS All Access, for lack of a better term, is more or less like a premium channel like HBO or Starz or something, because they want to create this premium channel because CBS knows what's going to happen. Eventually, in the not-too-distant future, everybody's going to have a smart TV, and eventually everybody will be able to stream everything. Now, as streaming continues to get better, that's where we're going with live television. So what's the future of rights fees for live sports, for example, in terms of mirroring to television, or, you know, through some platform or through a streaming service that you could get? And what will happen to cable companies is cable companies will be nothing more than streaming service providers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what they're moving to now. And that's why they're still going to figure out a way to get their money.
Oh, sure. And the NFL, what the NFL is going to do is they're going to take the NFL Network and put a lot of their big events. It would not shock me if the next 10 years that NFL Network takes over the major events and you're going to be watching a stream of the NFL Network for the Super Bowl. That would not surprise me.
They tried to do that. They tried to do that when they started the NFL Network, because you remember it was a big deal where they gave Comcast, what, 8 games, and then they took those 8 games back, and Comcast took them to court for it.
Right.
It was a big to-do about that. So, yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They've been trying to do that forever.
Right.
They've been trying to do that forever.
You know, get used to the idea that the landscape in terms of live television sports is going to change, and it's all going to become streaming. It's going to be on multiple platforms. And it's going to be very interesting to see where we go with TV, because really, when you get down to it, there's only two things you need live television for. You don't need live television.
Local news.
For news and sports. That's it. Well, weather being news. So you need just those, you know, news, weather, and sports, the old television news.
Realistically, and this is not a knock on the local newscasters, news reporters here, but who watches the news really anymore? I mean, who watches the news? Like, if I want to get the weather, I look at my smartphone. If I want to get the local stories, I have a feed on my Google where I can tailor it to give me what's going on here in Atlanta. And it'll give me, as soon as I go to Google, it'll tell me the top stories that are trending here in Atlanta.
I do use it for breaking weather. If we have bad weather, yeah, I'm flipping through the local channels.
You can get that on your phone. If you want breaking weather, you can get that.
Yeah, but I want to see the weather folks do tell me what's going to happen. You know, and
I can see that from you.
I like watching the weather people. Yeah, gonna be really interesting. You know, it's a good question. Is live television dead? Is it all streaming now? I think we're getting really. It's going to happen fast. You just got to be prepared for it. Stay up with it. What did Travis Schlecht just say about what he's going to do? Did I hear him right? That's next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.